just get into this word. It's just bring ourselves, bring our spirit, soul, and body into the Lord's presence. And because it's important that we hear from him. It's important that we encounter him. One of my prayers this morning was that we would just encounter Jesus in a fresh way. And it's not about words. It's not even about what I say or what any of us say. It's about encounter. It's about touching him, just like that guy, really. It wasn't the words that we said to him. It was the encounter. He walked into a place of encounter. And so, Lord, we just fix our eyes upon you now. Lord, and bring our lives afresh to you. Lord, we're all in different situations, different circumstances. Lord, we're all in a strange season right now. But we thank you that you are in the midst of it, just as Mary read that scripture. Lord, that you are our refuge and strength. You're an ever-present help in times of trouble. Lord, and that you surround us. You've promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So whatever is going on around in our world right now, and even whatever's going around in our soul or in our minds right now, that in reality, in the spirit, Lord, we are surrounded by you and that you're our refuge. And so we center on you. We bring everything in our lives, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, or indifferent. We bring it all now into the center. We bring it before your throne. We bring it into your presence, O Lord. Lord, all our hopes and dreams we bring to you now. All our fears and worries we bring to you now. We bring our past into your presence now. And we bring our future into your presence now. And we live in this moment, that this moment is a moment that we'll never have again. So Holy Spirit, just come and inhabit this moment so that we will encounter you and be changed. Lord, your scriptures say, when we see you, we should be like you, because we see you as you really are. And we're changed from one degree of glory into another. So Holy Spirit, just come and reveal freshly the Father and the Son to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Because of you, you are so kind. You're so amazing. And we deeply, deeply exalt you in this place where we are. That we are the Father's house with the temple. Our bodies are the temple of the living God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are Father's house. You've chosen to live inside of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for who you are, how amazing you are. And because you're here with us, everything is fine. Everything is good.
Yeah.
Everything is prosperous. Everything is full of hope. Everything is full of faith. Everything is full of extravagant love. Everything is full of creativity.
Yes.
There is nothing that's off limits. Lord, impossibilities become probabilities. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. One of the things I feel that we should do every day of our lives, this might sound crazy, I actually believe that we need to be an evangelist to our own soul. I believe that we need to preach the gospel to our soul and our body, actually, every day for the rest of our lives. What do I mean by that is, you know, Paul said, I've come to that place. I've resolved in 1 Corinthians 2, I've resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I preach the cross, which is Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. And in another place, Jesus said, preach the gospel to all creation. So it's not just preaching the gospel to unsaved people. It's preaching the gospel to every creature, every part of creation, because the creation is subject to decay, says in Romans 8. Creation is slowly decaying. It's in a cycle of decay. It's caught up in what Paul talks about as the law of sin and death. It's like it's going round and round in a circle. So, and as soon as our natural bodies are born or even conceived, we're born into a natural flow of decay. So by the end of this talk, our bodies, our physical bodies, our natural bodies will be that much closer to decay. That's the cycle we live in. That's what we actually live in, the world that we live in because of the fall. It never used to be like that. Before the fall, there wasn't such thing as decay. There was no such thing as sickness. There's no such thing as obviously sin, but there was no such thing as decay or death. There was no death. Everything was immortal, eternal, was without beginning and without end. So when Jesus died upon the cross, he didn't just die to save us from hell or to bridge the gap between us and God so that we could have a relationship with him. He did do that, of course. And that's amazing. That's incredible. But he didn't just do that. He didn't just die so that we could have healing from our sicknesses, or we could have freedom from the darkness that surrounds us, depression, mental illness, anxiety, fear, all of the stuff that we are surrounded with, if you like. He didn't just die to set us free from that. He died to begin a new race of people. So, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it says that he was the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Okay, so he became the firstborn and lived a life that is replicated in us. So it says, you know, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man or woman is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Yeah. So he died to actually birth a whole new race of people, a different people who are beyond human. Okay, our old is dead. As he said to Adam and Eve, if you eat this, you're going to die. He set in motion that decay, that death, and that cycle of decay, if you like. And so when Jesus died, he realized that the old nature, the old way of doing things, was completely, hopelessly failed. Yeah? The law of sin and death is doomed to failure, and God has no plans to resurrect it. He has no plans to reform or resurrect our old nature or our old bodies. He has no plans for it. You know, it says, from the dust you came from and the dust you're going to go. So he's got no plans to resurrect that stuff, including our bodies. What he does do is he has birthed us into eternity, into immortality. So we are now immortal beings. Eternity does not start when you die, when you physically die. Eternity starts now. You will never die. Everybody say it. I'm never going to die. You need to know it. I'm never going to die. Preach the gospel to your soul, because I want to tell you, on days, your soul, and particularly your mind, and even your body, will tell you, oh my goodness, I'm decaying, I'm going to die one day, and what if I don't get this, and what if I run out of money, what if I, whatever, you know, there's all kinds of fears come into our soul, which are connected with our old life, our old nature, the old sin and death. So we need to preach the gospel to our soul and our body, because the gospel is the power of God to salvation. Okay? And, you know, Christians need to preach the gospel, you know, as much as the non-Christians need to hear it. Really do. We need to hear the gospel, and we not just hear it, we need to believe it. I mean, so many Christians who say with their words that they believe it, but they don't demonstrate it in the way they speak, in the way that they live their lives, just because they're living from that old nature of the law of sin and death, which never will never get us where we want it to go. So, and guilt is the same. If we've done something wrong, if we stuffed up, we've sinned or whatever, our soul tells us that we should be ashamed. And so we feel ashamed. And so it keeps us awake at night. And the reason is because we don't believe the gospel. Because the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel that is often preached, which just says, you know, if you take these steps, if you say this prayer, that you're going to go to heaven and not to hell. Yeah. Salvation is a working, is an ever enfolding reality. And so we need to live our lives in the revelation of eternity, instead of living our lives out of a reflection of our old nature, because that's what happens. Now, we went, Jane and I went this week, actually. Jane's had some time off, which he hasn't had for a while. And we went, there's an exhibition at Houghton Hall, which is like a big estate in Norfolk. An exhibition of Anish Kapoor. I don't know if you've heard of him. No. He's a sculptor, basically. But he's got some amazing, unique, creative stuff that he's done. And one of the things he's done is this, you may have seen a picture of it, is this massive, gigantic mirror. But it's a mirror in a circle, cylindrical mirror. It's huge. And they put this mirror right out in the grounds of this big estate. And we were very blessed because the sun, it wasn't out all day, but it was like out for quite a bit of the day. And basically, this mirror reflects the sky. And it's an incredible view. I've got some photos of it. As the clouds move, you can see the clouds moving and you can see the reflection of the sky. And it basically reflects the heavens. And it just spoke to me as I was just looking at this thing, that we are a mirror. And we are called to reflect whatever's going on in the heavenly realms, in the heavens. We're supposed to reflect that to the world. And we can only do that when we live our lives in the revelation of eternity. so that the manifest presence of God, the not the intellectual presence of God, the manifest presence of God fills our vision. And when that happens, we will become like him. Because he is the firstborn among many brothers. He's made us, we have a higher calling than even the angels. Okay? Let's just have a look at a scripture. I want to just blow your minds a little bit. You may have read this before, but I want you to read this in a new light. Okay, the book of Revelation, right at the very first chapter. As we know, Apostle John was exiled into the island of Patmos, and suddenly he was in a place of worship and prayer, and suddenly he was taken into another realm, and he saw some things. And if we pick up the revelation in chapter 1, verse 12, it says this. It says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. Okay, everyone say together, like a son of man. I've looked up in this other, I thought maybe this is a mistranslation in the NIV. Okay, so I've looked this up in other translations. And it all says, like a son of man. Yeah, like a son of man. Okay, and he was dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Okay? So this was not a revelation of God. Okay? If you have a revelation of God, you are fried breakfast. You know? Because God is far too powerful. Like our minds can't even grasp just a tiny fraction of God. So God has to show himself in bits, very, very small bits, because he's just totally mind-blowing, and we couldn't stand who he is. That doesn't mean he doesn't love us, okay? But just his awesome presence in its fullness, we couldn't handle. So was this Jesus? Absolutely was Jesus. He was the first and the last and the living one, okay? But this was Jesus as the firstborn among many brothers. So what you see there is who you are. In the spirit. Just think about that one for a minute. What you see there is how the demons see you. What you see there is how the angels see you. This is reality. What you see in your reflection on your laptop is not who you are. It's not who you really are. Who you really are is this, in the spirit. That's who you are. So just get some perspective here, guys. So when you are facing trials and struggles, and which we do, because we live in a fallen world, and there are many trials that we face. Face them in that revelation, not the revelation that you see in your screen on a laptop. You see, that's what Paul meant when he said, I pray that the glorious Father might open our eyes, that we might see who we are. We might see who Jesus is, and we might see who we are. Open the eyes of their hearts that they might know the hope to which you've called them. This is it. This is who we are in the Spirit. Not when we die, but now. And the demons tremble. When we know who we are, they tremble. They tremble. I've had people who've been affected, demonized people. And when the demons manifest, I've had where they absolutely, suddenly this just faith just comes, and I know who I am. I know that I know that I know. In those moments, I don't know all the time, but I know. And I've seen the demons just cringe. They scream to get out of the room. What? Because they see this. That doesn't make me anybody special. It makes who Jesus has made us this way. Am I communicating? See, it's all about perspective. We need revelation. When we get revelation, you know, we can do all kinds of things, because faith comes. You know, Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and say, be removed into the sea, and it will be done. Anything Jesus did, we can do. Anything Jesus did, we can do. I remember preaching that message on a radio broadcast. I might even have shared it a couple of years ago in Father's house, actually. I used to do every week, used to just preach a radio broadcast. And this particular message was about speaking to the mountain, faith as small as a grain of mustard seed. And I had an email back from a guy in Pakistan, because it was a radio station that was online. It was broadcast all over the world. You can get it all over the world. And this guy had stage 4 throat cancer. And the doctors had actually given up, said no more chemo, said, you know, that's it. And he heard the message, and he just obeyed the message. Basically, he just put it into practice. And he said, I spoke to the cancer. And he said, I woke up the next morning, and he said, the problem is with throat cancer is that it's so painful, you can't even eat or drink. It's so painful to even to drink, it's painful. And he said, it was weird. He said, I could eat my breakfast without any pain. And he said it took him by surprise. So he went to the doctor. And he said, and the doctor said, well, that can't be. So he said, we're going to have some scans. So they had some scans, and there was no cancer there. So they had some more scans, because they just couldn't believe it. I think they had 3 lots of scans, because they thought there must be something wrong with the machine. And in the end of the day, they said, there was no throat cancer. There's not a trace of cancer in your throat anymore. Said, we can't find any. We've been looking all day and we can't find any cancer in your throat. And he was totally healed. Why? Because he suddenly realized who he was. You know? So you have, when you look at Jesus, you get a reflection of who you are. It says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, when we behold him, we behold him as in a mirror. So we see ourselves as we really are. Huh? That's where we need to worship. Because we come into his presence. And then we can face life. You can face anything, you know. If you knew that you were like that, you could face anything. You know, if you have eyes like blazing fire, if you have a golden sash around your chest, and you have a double-edged sword coming out of your mouth, okay, then not much is going to intimidate you, is it? Are you hearing me? It's all about really, really, really knowing who you are. When you really know who you are, does that mean all your troubles go away? Absolutely not. What it means is that you face these things from a completely different perspective. We were in a prayer meeting the other day, online, Zoom prayer meeting. And I had this vision, and I was taken, we were like in this valley, and the mist had like descended like it does in a valley, you know, like if you go to Scotland or places where there's mountains, often the mist comes down and you really can't see anything. I remember getting lost on Mount Snowdon once. It's a nightmare. Couldn't see more than about 4 foot in front of me. And we were halfway up the mountain. We'd lost the path. And I just literally prayed. I had no idea how to get down from this mountain. But actually, we looked at the map and we stumbled across a pipeline that actually went all the way down to the road. So we just walked along the pipeline. If we hadn't bumped into that, I don't know how we would have got home. Anyway, we were in this valley in the vision, and then I was taken up onto the top of the mountain. And I could see a panorama. I could see the valley. And the oxygen up there, there was hardly any oxygen. It was like the air was rare. And the Lord said to me, I want you to breathe the oxygen of heaven. And I want you to pray from here, not from down there. Because here is where you are. You see, the gospel is not just the cross. The gospel is the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension into heaven. That's the gospel, the full gospel. And most evangelists, if I'm honest, only preach the cross. So they get you saved from hell, but they don't actually preach the full gospel. And the full gospel is not just the cross and the resurrection. It's the ascension into heaven. Jesus said, unless I go to heaven, the Holy Spirit cannot come. Yeah. What he meant by that was, unless I go to heaven, you can't experience the fullness of being born again. Because where you are is seated at the right hand of God. That's where you are positioned. You're seated there. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says that. You're raised up and seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So does that make sense? And so you need to preach the gospel, the full gospel, the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension into heaven. Because not only have you died and been born again, raised to life again, but you've been seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. So your prayer life, you need to pray from there, not from down in the valley. Praying down in the valley is hard work. Not only is it hard work, it's very, very discouraging because you feel like you're just shouting at the ceiling. You feel like this mist is so thick that you can't get through it. It's like talking to the ceiling. It's like there's a ceiling on your prayers. And the reason it's like that is because you're praying from the wrong place. And you can't pray with faith down there. You can't. But if you pray from up top of the mountain, you see a perspective. So your problems are minuscule. They're minute. Doesn't matter how big the problems are, they're minuscule when you're standing at the top of the mountain. Does that make sense? And so it's all about perspective. And so, you know, I call this talk wrestling with God. We're wrestling with who we are. We're wrestling with God and who he is. And so when you wrestle with someone, you have to come up close. Yeah. I know I preached this message before, but if we don't get hold of this, we will miss what God is doing in this lockdown season. Now, you may disagree with me, and you're absolutely entitled to do that, but I actually don't believe that this season of lockdown comes from God or the devil. I know there's a lot of, you know, you go online, they're all wrestling. Is this God? Is this the devil? I actually don't believe it's either. I think it's just a result of the fall. You know, viruses are a result of the fall. Does that mean the devil is not using it? Absolutely, he is. There's tremendous fear, you know, coming out. You know, every news bulletin has got fear laced with it, really. Does that mean God is not using it? Absolutely, he is. In fact, I would say this season is a divine confrontation. It's a divine confrontation. It's a divine encounter. We just need to view it in the right perspective, because we don't want to get to the end. I was saying this to Jane this morning. We don't want to get to the end of this season, however long it lasts, and miss what God is doing. Okay, so I believe it's a divine confrontation, a divine encounter for the church, for the people of God. I don't believe that we will ever do church the same again. Now, we might do some things the same, but I don't believe it will ever be the same again. And God help us if it is. Because, you know, and we thank God, we had testimony time, and that's great. Thank God for all the amazing things that he does in our lives, yeah? And the opportunities that we have, and we thank God for the things that he's done, and he's done amazing things. But if this is all there is, guys, you know, we're stuffed. You know, we failed because the world has not changed. It's changed a little, but it's not actually changed in the way that the scripture says it's going to change. You know, in Habakkuk, it says the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Do you see that right now? I don't see it. And the reason for that is we have not got a hold of who we are. And I actually believe, I was preaching in Kenya a couple of weeks ago, just doing a Zoom session in a conference in Kenya. And the night before, I had a dream. And in the dream, it was a quite a short dream, and it was I saw a guy with a doctor, a consultant, and he was diagnosing this guy with an illness. And he said, "You have a degenerative bone disease." And that was it. That was the dream. And so I thought, oh, this must be a word of knowledge for healing for someone in the conference, you see. So I shared it as a word of knowledge. And actually, oh, I don't know, maybe 20 people came forward, actually. And we prayed for them, and God moved, and it was good. But the Lord said to me afterwards, he said, "Alaric, that was not a word of knowledge for healing, but I have healed some people." He said, That was a word of knowledge for the structure of the church. He said, the wineskin of the church has a degenerative bone disease, the structure, and it's slowly decaying. And one day it will completely collapse. And the Lord started to speak to me about, and I've been preaching this message for 2 or 3 years now, and it's now starting to really come clear, much clearer than it was during this lockdown season. That the way that we do church is no longer able to cope with the new wine that's coming. And is it even already here? There is new wine being poured out, but the wineskin of how we do it is the wrong wineskin. It's just going to burst. It's got a degenerative bone disease. So when you look at how the church operated in the book of Acts, you've got to remember these guys did not have a Bible, a New Testament. Excuse me. All they had was the Old Testament, the Torah, and the prophets. They also did not have any blueprint of how to do church at all. None at all. They had no concept of how to do church. All they had was synagogue worship. They were all Jews, the earliest apostles. And they were used to synagogue worship, which is basically a social gathering with a rabbi that read the scriptures. That was the synagogue worship. And they had the temple where they brought the sacrifices. Okay, so they had temple worship and synagogue worship, but it wasn't remotely like anything like what we know as church. Not even close. And so suddenly, all they had was they'd walked with Jesus for 3 years. So they had the example of how Jesus lived his life, how he did his ministry, and they had his teachings. Okay? But there was no blueprint. Suddenly, Jesus had gone to heaven, left them. Okay? The Holy Spirit actually hadn't come yet. Suddenly they were left in the upper room and they were like, well, what do we do now? You know, all we have, we got Jesus' words ringing in our ears, wait in the city until the power comes, you know, and they just had these words ringing in their ears. And also he said, go into all the world and preach the good news and make disciples of all nations. So they had this confusing message. You've got to wait and stay until the power comes, and then you've got to go. And that was it. That was all they had, you know? And so the power came on the day of Pentecost. The fire fell. And suddenly this boldness came upon Peter. He stood up in front of a confused crowd. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, and they were all behaving like they'd had 2 bottles of whiskey. You know, and speaking in other tongues, and you know, so much so that some of them thought they were drunk, you know, had too much, you know. And Peter said, no, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. We haven't touched a drop, you know. It's like, and then this boldness came on Peter, as we know, and preached the gospel. 3,000 people got saved that day. So suddenly they're left with no idea how to do church or anything like it. They've got the memory of Jesus' life and his words. They've got this incredible power that's flooding their being. What do we do? So what emerged was something that wasn't thought through by a human mind. It came out of their revelation of Jesus. It came out of the power of the new creation life that was pulsating through their being. They came out of this love that was in their hearts. They came out of this faith that was in their hearts. Yeah. And so what emerged was they met together in each other's homes and they broke bread and they shared the apostles' teaching. They preached the gospel to each other. They did the miracles. And it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So that's what church was. And we've got this idea that church literally means ecclesia. It just means people, basically. It's the gathering of people. And so this thing that we call church now is bears no resemblance, really, of how they did it. Okay, now in recent years there has been an emergence, and we've all touched it, haven't we, at Father's House and other places, of something of what it means to bring Jesus to the world. We have begun to touch that and we've begun to see it, but I believe we've reached a point now where the structure, and I think this is what's going on with this lockdown and the Zoom sessions that we're doing and all of that, that God is actually doing something in the form of reforming. And I had that scripture, we haven't got time to read it now, from Jeremiah 18 this morning, you know, where Jeremiah wakes up one morning and says to the Lord, so what are we doing today, Lord? And the Lord said, go down to the potter's house. And I will give you my message. If you read the first part of Jeremiah 18, he goes down to the potter's house and he watches this potter making a jar of clay. And the potter makes a mistake and it's a bit damaged. So he just scraps it, molds it together again, starts again. And the Lord gives him this message and said, doesn't the potter, isn't the potter allowed to make, to shape the clay the way that he wants to? And then he says, you are like clay in my hands. I'm the potter, you're the clay. Yeah. And what I'm trying to say here is this, is that God is molding something here. And he's actually starting again. If I can use it that way, he's going to start again. And we're going to, I actually believe this, that we're going to see things different. And God has, Jesus is head of the church. Is he not allowed to do that? I'm just putting it out there. This is not, I'm not preaching anything. And this is not a word for one particular church. It's not a word for you. It's a word, I believe, that we are going to see with our very eyes in the coming months and years. We're going to see slowly decaying the old wineskin and something new is emerging, which is far more powerful and far more vibrant and far more creative. I believe we're going to see church in every aspect of life. I believe we're going to see church in politics. We're going to see church in education, we're going to see church in sport, we're going to see church in the care industry, we're going to see church in entertainment industry, we're going to see church in every aspect of life. I believe God is raising up prophets and apostles and even pastors in these arenas, you know, and it's going to look very, very different, but it's going to have the same foundational vibrancy that those early disciples had from the day of Pentecost, that power to change lives, the power to make things, the power to be a manifestation of what we read, what I've just read in the book of Revelation, manifested on the earth in power. And the demons, the demonic strongholds will cower.
Yeah.
When you walk in the room, they will cower. Something will happen. Even that testimony we said of this guy, this financial guy, he came in. We had no, we were just sitting there having a cup of coffee, you know, And he walked into some power and revelation. He didn't know what to do with himself. He was stumbling. He couldn't do his job properly. You know, he's a lovely guy, but he was just undone. Something was undone. Does that make sense? And it, what it does is it breaks the demonic strongholds of fear and anxiety. And suddenly everything that troubled us and seemed to be mountains in our lives become, they actually become vehicles by which he can move and work. And he's also, I believe in this time, saying to us, we cannot rely upon church for our spiritual life. We need to drink from our own well, because our own well is powerful. This is who we are. We have eyes with like blazing fire. This is who we are. So preach the gospel to your soul today. Hear it. Hear the gospel. I've resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ. This is all about Jesus. Everything is about him. Everything is coming together, and he is going to be at the center. Everything's from him, for him, and to him. It's all about him. He's the centerpiece of everything. And this, we are in the midst of a divine confrontation right now. Our world is in the midst of a divine confrontation. We're going to see it. And also, we're also going to see the separation of those who really believe and those who don't. So I'm urging you with every fiber of my being to believe this is the truth. This is the gospel. You are part of a new race of people. And they're called Christians, all right? But actually what they are and what we are is a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. We're beyond human. We're immortal. We have the very seed of life, the breath of life that God breathed into creation is in us. And it's eternal. I hope this made some sense. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you are Yahweh. Yod Heh Vad Heh. You're the very breath of life. You're the same breath that breathed into being Adam and formed him from the dust. The same breath that Ezekiel prophesied to the bones and they came to life, a living, a great army. And so we agree together and we prophesy to our soul and our body. We say, breathe, Holy Spirit, breathe the gospel. We preach the gospel to our soul. And we say, come to life in the name of Jesus. Come into line, come into alignment with the truth. We preach the gospel to our bodies. Say, come into alignment.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.